The Milk Bar, sponsored by www.wolvesmobile.co.uk, saving you money on your mobile, making cash for your club.
Welcome to the Milk Bar. 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 Welcome to the Milk Bar.
Welcome along to episode 70 of the Milk Bar. Zoe, how are you feeling?
I'm feeling a lot better, thank you.
You were poorly bad.
I was very
What was wrong this time? Because you're just pathetic, really.
No, it's when the last couple of years, whenever I get a cold, it seems to really knock me for six. And I just, whereas my husband will have it for a couple of days, and like, you know, you can carry on going to work and stuff. Yeah. When I get them, I don't know, I can't do anything. I'm just tired. And
everyone I know thinks you're not eating enough. Because there's been lots of discussion around it following your absence last week. Everyone's like, where was she? Well, she just doesn't look like she
eats enough. I feel like I eat a lot. And I have put a lot of weight on the last couple
of
months.
But you're a stick. Still a stick.
No, I'd need to lose a bit again.
That jumper's hanging off you. It's either...
Do you know why? Because my top
half... It's because you haven't washed it properly,
my top half belongs to a different woman, that's why. Okay. My middle bit and my bottom bit is quite heavy enough, thank you very much.
Right, okay, well, anyway, whatever you do, make sure you're well.
I need to eat more fruit, I must admit.
Yeah, it's scurvy, that's the other thing. Yeah, you're not vegetarian or anything weird, are you?
Though, no, so. I used to be.
Yeah, that'd probably be better for you if you were.
If I was vegetarian?
Yeah, because you'd be actually eating the right amount of your five a day. Anyway, shall I stop preaching at you now?
Yes, please.
Oh, there we go. So, what's been going on the last fortnight? Anything good?
Well, our mobile phone thing's nearly up and running, which is good.
Now, Wolves Mobile, our sponsors, company behind them, XL Communications, bringing Brood Mobile to Brood.
To life, yes. We've got all the dummy phones.
Yeah, you're quite excited.
Yes, the website should be up today or tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's not as yet, because I have checked. We've got all our promo stuff in.
Ooh.
So we just need to have our portal up.
Portal, not porthole.
Yes, whatever. You know what I mean.
I normally edit it out when you witter on about your phone company, but I'm going to keep it in just for porthole. That's brilliant. Right, what's coming up on the podcast today then, Zoe?
Well, we shall be speaking to Tom Chance from, he's got a charity called Give a Car.
Aha, a social enterprise to improve things. We'll find out more about that later on, because at the minute, I know nothing. We're also joined by Michelle Stokes today from the Two Step Dance Academy. I'm going to get you signed up.
Actually, I've always rather fancied learning dancing.
Okay, so that's on the way a little bit later on. We have music, as we are joined on the phone by Final Clearance, and it's not a DFS sale type thing, it is actually a band. We'll be having a chat with Tom a little bit later on. And also, we on the phone now have Martin Harrison, and he's talking wildlife. Hello, sir.
Hiya, you alright?
I'm good, how are you?
I'm not so bad, thank you.
Now, what's going on then? Because you're appearing at the Bilston Craft Gallery.
Yes.
And you're going to be talking about the homes and wildlife living.
Yes, I am. I work for a project for the Wildlife Trust of Birmingham, the Black Country, called Black Country Living Landscape. Mm-hmm. We work in Wolverhampton, Walsall, Sandwell and Dudley to try and get local people involved in local wildlife. So into green spaces, countryside sites, local nature reserves. So what's happening on Saturday is myself going down to the craft gallery to make some wildlife homes. Mm-hmm. So making bat boxes, bird boxes and mini beast homes, and it's all free as well. And obviously I'll tell people a little bit about the bats, the birds and the mini beasts as well.
And if they're there, how to either care for them or avoid them at the right times, I suppose.
Yeah, it's, you know, people can ask me questions and I'll tell them as much as I know, but it is a good thing. It's a fun thing for kids, and it's also very important in terms of the local wildlife and national wildlife as well, because if we're there helping them, then it's going to improve our local environment as well.
So that's Saturday the 16th of October. Yes. What time does it all start?
11:30, till 1 o'clock I'll be there.
And mini beasts, that's the thing that...
is that like worms?
Zoe's face lit up when you said that, yeah.
Yeah, insects, worms, spiders, anything that's sort of creepy crawly type things.
Nice.
But all very important, because they're sort of the bottom of the food chain, so if we didn't have them, we wouldn't have soil, and there wouldn't be food for birds and other creatures as well, so they are very important.
I have seen on the TV for the last couple of years, when it's come up to winter, that you are worried about wildlife, because with people like slabbing the back gardens and putting grit down and things like that, it's getting rid of all the shrubbery and the trees needed to for these wildlife creatures to live. So is that where it's all come from?
Yeah, basically, the reason that certain species from, like, say, mini beasts up to birds and animals, there's less of them around is because we've destroyed the habitat, basically, in different ways. Mm. So if we're putting stuff back in there, you know, places for them to live, eat and what have you, then we're going to help them rather than destroying it. So we're going to help them out. And it is very important. That's very important.
I take it we're calling them mini beasts to make them sound a little more friendly than earwigs, aren't we?
Yeah, yeah. It's surprising when I've done stuff like this before. A lot of, you know, you get a lot of the kids that do like the worms and the spiders and stuff as well. I know some people don't like them, especially spiders, because there's something about them.
I'd say there's a lot of adults that don't like spiders.
Yeah,
always the one in my house to get rid of them.
I'm head of spiders. Yes.
Yes.
Although wasps, I will not go near. So somebody else has to clobber them.
Yeah. Oh, I don't mind anything.
Martin, what is the point of wasps? Because somebody asked me this the other day and I couldn't answer.
That's a very good question. I know at this time of year they get very agitated because it's starting to go cold, so the best thing to do is to keep away from them.
Well, they get drunk as well, don't they, when there's fruit falling on the ground. It ferments and they go all over the place.
Yeah,
slugs are quite good at that as well. I've seen a slug drunk on cider.
That's a good way to keep your slugs away from any vegetables you're growing. Rather than put pellets down, it's good to put a plastic glass into the ground and put a bit of old beer that you're not going to drink,
or wine. Yeah, I've done
that.
It's quite funny.
So that's fair.
To protect my vegetables.
You did it because it's funny.
No.
What?
It was a mistake. I did do it to protect the vegetables, but then I did happen to see a slug and he sort of like was wiggling all over the place after he'd been in the beer.
He managed to get back out of it. He was mostly impressed. But that's all taking place then at Bilston Craft Gallery this Saturday.
Yes.
But on Sunday the 24th...
Yeah.
Over at Springvale Park, you've got something which is more fungus-based.
Yeah, it's what they call a fungal foray. So basically we'll walk around with an expert. This is where someone helps me out from. It's actually come from Staffordshire Fungus Group.
Yeah.
We're going to walk around, find hopefully loads of different species, and explain about fungus, you know, mushrooms and toadstools. Mm-hmm. And again, they are very important. 80 or 90% of green plants rely on fungus to grow. They're all interlinked under the ground, so they are very important, as well as what we always get is people coming along asking which ones you can eat as well.
They just want free mushrooms, basically.
It's what called free food, you know. You get your berries and different vegetation as well as mushrooms. So it's all adding to the education of people about the natural world, which is good.
And it is vitally important you get your mushrooms right.
I'd get an expert in to come and do the talks for me.
I don't think I could quite trust myself to pick up the right one and cook the right one, so I leave well alone with
wild mushrooms. There is, even when you get a book or an ID guide, you look at two or three, and when you
they
first look
same.
At them, you think you're going to know what they are, but there's quite a few that look similar.
Stick with Sainsbury's would be my advice, I think, to be fair.
Yeah,
on
you're
that
probably
one.
Right there.
But it doesn't actually stop for the winter, does it, Wildlife? Because as always already mentioned, you've got to keep your birds alive, maybe with a fat ball hanging from a slightly spindly-looking tree.
Yeah,
but
that's very important.
You've got trees come into play in December.
Yeah, well, it's National Tree Week. I think it's usually 2 weeks, which doesn't usually make sense. But at the end of November and the first week in December, National Tree Week, and I am actually doing something at the Craft Gallery again. I think it's the 4th of December. I think that's a Saturday. I'm just looking at my calendar now. Yeah, the 4th of December. I'm not sure what I'm doing yet, but it'll be based around National Tree Week. During that time, because the trees are dormant, you can do planting and moving stuff around. So we will do planting elsewhere on different sites, but some tree activities. Like, say, if you look out nearer the time, then there'll be posters around to say what we're going to do.
Yes,
so is that going to be telling people exactly when to plant and how to look after?
We can do that as well. It's more, we try to do a bit more fun things, so to get people involved, but we can do that as well.
Bark rubbing's fun. I like that.
Oh yes,
yeah. But that it gives us an opportunity to people to come and ask us questions if they're unsure or know where to go. So it's giving people the opportunity to ask those sort of questions.
I'm never quite sure on when to actually cut back trees, you know, like when all their foliage is gone and things like that, because you want to cut them back enough to grow well for next year, but if you do it too much, you kill them off, don't you?
Yeah, it'll depend on the species, really, because we, working for the Wildlife Trust, we usually deal with native sort of species, so ones that are native to this country, and because of breeding birds as well, we try not to do any work sort of February up until the end of the July, because that's when birds are breeding, and then you can disturb them. It's illegal to disturb as well. So in terms of pruning native stuff, it's best to leave it outside of that time, just in case there's birds around.
Okay.
Well, if we've got a website, we can find out more about all the activities and maybe even get updates on what's happening at what times of year?
Yes, there is. Our Black Country Living Landscape website is www.bcll.org.uk.
I'm glad it's shorter than Black Country Living.
Yes, I think we did probably look into that, but easy to make a mistake. And like I say, we're an initiative. We work for the Wildlife Trust with Birmingham and the Black Country, so you can go onto that website as well, and there's a link on that as well.
Brilliant, great to talk to you. And fantastic. It sounds like you've got some great events coming up with the Bilston Craft Gallery and also that one in Springvale Park on the 24th.
Yes, that's right.
So it should be a nice Sunday out, looking at mushrooms in a field.
Yeah, hopefully we'll get a few people in. It's really interesting, so hopefully people will come along.
And they can just turn up to both of those events without booking?
Yes.
Martin, thanks for talking to us. Lovely to speak to you. And enjoy your time picking mushrooms and see what you can bring back. Are the truffles the big ones you find that are worth a lot of money?
They're slightly different.
But it's all a big fungus anyway.
Yeah.
I know someone who's picked one of those and has brought it into work to cook in a professional restaurant.
I think I'd have just sold it. Can you not sell them?
eBay's not the place to buy your fungus, though, is it, really? it's a little dangerous, quite possibly. But yeah, Marty, thanks for joining us. And
thank you very much.
Thanks for telling us about what's going on over the next few months. Lovely to speak to you. Perfect. Right, let's take our first track from the featured band this week. Final Clearance is the name. This is Rebound. Rebound. There we go. Final Clearance. Zoe, enjoy that. You were busy texting
good,
then. You weren't
paying
attention at all.
Well, it had a rather sudden ending.
It did. You did.
I was caught out.
Well, we shall take this up with the band then now. Tom Simpson. Hello, sir.
Hello.
So that was too sudden an ending. Zoe's complaining.
Well, I was engrossed in the music, you see. That's what it was. I was enjoying it and then it just stopped.
So, tell us a bit about the band. Because you're, how many of you are you? Because you're based in Milton Keynes, aren't you?
Yeah, there's four of us. There's me and my sister Ellie. She's on the bass. And then our two friends, Sarah, she plays violin, and Trevor, he's on drums.
So Zoe normally complains that there aren't enough girls in the bands we talk to.
I do.
And we've got two in there. Is that okay for you?
Very good, particularly bass playing, because I like a bit of bass.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Right.
Well done.
Can you play bass?
I did.
Briefly?
Briefly.
So you're not going to be...
Year.
We can't bring you into the band then as an extra member.
Oh, I'd have to cut my nails off. Yeah, doesn't work well with nails.
No, because you're so glamorous. there we go. Tom, back to you. So, what brought the band together then? Because how would you describe your sound? Because it's a fairly rocky indie rock sound, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, we've got influences from pretty much all over the place. What we like to do is sort of not have the same sound on each track. So, but they usually come out with a sort of an indie rock sound, but we it ends up getting a little bit heavier once we've all gone through what we want to do with it, really.
So who's doing the bulk of the writing then? Because if you've got a violin part in a heavy rock track, that's a little unusual.
Yeah, we weren't going to have the violin in all of it to start with, but it just kept working so well that it ended up with her being in quite a few. When she's not playing violin, she's on the piano or the keyboard, mm-hmm. doing something like that.
I suppose you're overlaying the different sounds when you're in the studio anyway, so it's a bit different to your live set.
Yeah, yeah.
When you are recording, what really spurs you on to want to get that sound in that way? Do you go in complete already working out which layers you're going to have of different instruments, or do you let it evolve organically?
Yeah, well, the violin, like, and all the other instruments, they become such an integral part of who we are that by the time we've gone into the studio, we know that song inside out. So it's just a case of just playing it like we've been rehearsing for months and then getting it sounding good.
Now, Rebound is from your second album, No Love Lost.
Yes.
Tell us a bit about the history then, because you've got another band out there, which is Teenage Dreamland.
Yes, that was our first album. We spent about 5 years recording that. Trevor, our drummer, he was producing it himself, but it took us a bit too long, so we ended up finishing it in the studio. I mean, it's an all right album, but it's a bit old.
Mm-hmm.
So we're quite happy to have the second one come out, because it's more to do with what we're up to now.
So it's got the current feel of the band.
Oh yeah, totally. I mean, we had a fifth member, and he left halfway through recording the second album.
So, is that the reason the title No Love Lost came about?
No comment.
Now, you've actually got videos online of some of your work, in particular the last track we'll hear today, which is called Circles Round You. Now, that one is from the debut album, and that one, so the video is there online for. Is that something that you're producing in-house, or are you working with someone outside to put that sort of thing together for you?
When I was first started writing, I was at film school. And I did all that for a while. It didn't quite work out, but I still keep it as a hobby, so I can use it to make music videos for the band, and they turn out all right sometimes. The Circles one I'm really happy with, but yeah.
It's handy, isn't it, that if you can do it all yourself, saves a bit of money then.
Much cheaper.
Yeah.
So if people want to see your videos, where can they be found on YouTube? I take it we just search for the band name?
Yeah, if you just search for Final Clearance on YouTube, hopefully it will come up somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Either that or you'll get the DFS advert. Which...
Yeah, they're all on a MySpace page as well.
Mm-hmm. Which is?
MySpace.com/Final Clearance.
And if people want to buy your music, how can they go about doing that?
There is a link on... our MySpace page, I think, somewhere, or just contact us, and we'll sort something out.
Okay, well, we'll explore a bit with you the songs that we've both heard and are going to hear. Rebound, was that on the back end of a love story?
Yeah, it was a long time afterwards. It was once I got over it and just wanted some inspiration. So.
Mm-hmm. And we're not hearing this one next, but in a short while, so I'm going to hear Naive Child. And I love the fact it's from an EP called Window Cleaners of Amsterdam.
Yeah.
That'd be a good job.
I can see,
wouldn't it?
I'm assuming there is a certain reddish glow to the lighting in the region you're thinking of these window cleaners working.
Of course.
A personal experience again for the EP title?
That was just an in-joke in the studio. We had no idea what to call the EP, and in the end it just... Just talking rubbish in the studio, it sounded like a good title.
But tell us a bit about Naive Child then.
Naive Child, it's quite an old one. I mean, it's about a girl, obviously. Mm-hmm. But it's like the unrequited thing going on. Quite a lot of that. But
the girl's not the child.
The girl's not a child, apparently.
Okay. I like the fact you've been prompted. That's the sister in the background,
is
it?
That's my mom.
Oh, it's your mom joining in. Okay. As long as they're keeping an eye on you and making sure you're getting not getting the wrong reputation.
Yeah.
We could say the last song we'll hear is Circles Round You. Now, does the video explain that one if people watch that?
Yeah, it sort of backs up what the message of the song is, like trying to search for someone but not being able to find them, that sort of thing. It's pretty epic. Go and see it for yourself. You'll get it.
Okay, stand back, watch and enjoy. And now the tune we're about to hear, this one, is Looking Is Easy. So this is not to do with window cleaners.
No.
Explain more.
Looking Is Easy, that's about lots of things, really. Starts off about a girl, and then it moves on to like looking for a job, and then looking for the stuff with the band, and it's sort of all over the place, but it sort of makes sense.
Well, we'll take a listen to the words, and see how we get on from there. And we'll look forward to hearing the rest of the tunes. Give us the web address once more if people do want to hear your work.
It's myspace.com/finalclearance.
OK, that's the way to do it. Tom, thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Ta-ra for now.
Bye.
Yeah, that's Final Clearance and Looking Is Easy. Zoe, who have we got on the phone next?
I have a lovely chap called Tom Chance who's going to be going through his charity.
Tom, hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
I'm very well, thanks.
Now, you're raising money for Haven.
That's right.
Tell us a bit about the charity and also about how you're raising the cash.
Okay, well, I mean, first of all, it's probably best to clear up the fact that Give a Car is a social enterprise rather than a charity.
Uh-huh.
So I suppose we're a fundraising operation.
Mm.
And what we do is we organise the donation of cars to charity. So if you have a car that needs to be scrapped, or if it's been lying around in your drive for a long time, or it's broken down, or it's failed its MOT, what we can do is we can organise to have it picked up and disposed of, and the value of the scrap metal is what is donated to the charity. And currently there are over 200 charities affiliated to the scheme, one of which is The Haven in Wolverhampton.
Mm-hmm. That sounds like a really good way of getting rid of an old car. I'm very impressed with that.
Thank you very much.
So how did this one all come about?
Had you got
a car you just didn't want anymore? Was that what first triggered the thought?
Well, actually, I didn't know. I had a car to scrap.
Mm-hmm.
And so I called someone round and they gave me £50 for the car. And I thought, there are a lot of occasions where people may have cars that they don't need. For example, they may have inherited a car.
Well, sometimes you actually charge for taking them away.
I was going to say, I have known people charge before now to come and pick them up.
It can happen. Mm. It can happen, certainly. But I just thought that, you know, rather than accept money for the car, people may want to donate it to charity. And especially, as you say, there are people that do charge to take the cars away, or they take them away for free. Because there's a knowledge gap, I just thought that it would be useful to, you know, provide a service where charities could benefit.
Mm-hmm.
And the other reason is that, I mean, there are so many recycling initiatives in the UK, such as Recycle Your Mobile for Charity or Recycle Your Ink Cartridge. I thought it was crazy that no one had thought about recycling cars, because in this economic climate, I think the charity sector needs as much help as it can possibly get.
And if you get you giving something away you no longer have any use for, is going to be a hassle or a cost to actually dispose of, then all the better if you can actually get a charity to make some money off the back of it.
Exactly, and it's much less of a burden to the donor than having a monthly direct debit, for example.
Mm.
Yeah.
Has it been quite popular? I mean, how long has it been running for so far?
Well, we started in January, so we've been going now for 10 months, and presently we're doing around 300 cars a month. So, yeah, it's proving to be very popular, and there's certainly a market for it in the UK.
Is it something that you're going to keep on going with? Or, I mean, can you envisage it getting bigger and bigger?
Oh, definitely. I do find the more exposure we get, the more cars we get donated. And because it's a young company and because we haven't had a huge amount of investment into it, we're growing month by month, and everything is fueled by the development of the company. So as we expand and we can promote the scheme more, we're getting more and more cars in.
Mm-hmm.
So I can definitely see it growing as the months and years go by.
And the value of scrap metal does tend to fluctuate, so there'll be times when those cars are worth significantly more to the charity than others. So do you try and make sure you're getting the best out of the value of these cars as they go through the process?
That's right. I mean, the price does fluctuate on a daily basis, and as a result, the amounts we get for our cars fluctuates on a daily basis as well. Currently, the price of scrap metal is quite high, and as a result, the cars are worth around £100 each, the
mm-hmm.
disposals. We try to ensure, or we do ensure, that we can return the most as we possibly can to charities. And if the scrap metal price goes up, then we'll certainly be able to return more to the charities. But unfortunately, when the scrap metal price goes down, then the opposite effect occurs.
Mm-hmm. It's finding somewhere to park them for a while then at no cost to try and wait for the value to go up a bit.
Exactly,
too, I suppose.
Exactly.
And which are the heavier cars? What are worth more to you as they come through? I suppose a Volkswagen Golf, I know, is quite heavy. Is there anything other than that that's going to weigh in quite well?
Well, funnily enough, last week we got a 40-ton lorry.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and last week the price of scrap metal was £130 per ton. So you can imagine how much that was worth.
The charities are benefiting nicely from that one, yes.
I hope so, yeah. I mean, no, of course they are. We haven't actually picked it up yet, but they will do when we do. And, I suppose the best cars are obviously the large cars, the Land Rovers and the 4x4s of this world.
Mm-hmm.
And the worst cars are things like Nissan Micras,
The little ones. Well, get rid of a big one and buy a little one. Therefore, you're doing good for the environment, and you're doing some good for charity as well. That sound like a deal?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. And who does all the paperwork on this? Because there's like SAWN notifications that have to go through when you're doing this kind of thing, aren't there?
Well, that's right. I mean, we subcontract the collection of cars to one of two companies. One of them is the largest vehicle manufacturer approved recycling network in the UK. So they have links with 75% of the car manufacturers.
Uh-huh.
And as a result, you know, they do say everything by the book, and they're very reputable, and they will ensure that the paperwork is filled out in the right way for the donor. So it's not handled by GiveACar employees. It's subcontracted to our collection agents.
Mm-hmm. So that they're experts in this kind of thing and do the whole lot for you.
That's right, exactly.
Well, it sounds like a really good way of making some cash for charity and getting a load of hassle away from what you're trying to do when it comes to changing your car. And you never know, you might be buying another relatively cheap vehicle which can then be recycled and make more money back for the charity potentially than you paid for it in the first place, which would be good as well, wouldn't it?
And it's good for the environment as well, getting rid of, because the majority of these cars are going to be quite old, I'd have thought, so the emissions, you know, they want them off the roads, don't they, the higher emission cars.
Well, that's right. And I mean, there's another point I'd like to add to that, which is that we ensure that the cars are recycled in authorised treatment facilities. And there has in the past been a big problem in this country because the price of scrap metal is high and because cars can be disposed of fairly easily, of cowboy and rogue scrap dealers who don't depollute the cars to high standards.
Mm-hmm.
And that still occurs, even though the Environmental Agency is starting to become more strict about it. So we will ensure that all the cars, if we dispose of them, will be recycling authorised treatment facilities, which essentially regulated scrap yards. And all the hazardous fluids, you know, the coolants and the motor oils and things like that will be drained and depolluted, and they won't, you know, be allowed to run into the surface of the earth.
Mm-hmm. And some of those will be reused as well, when they were the case of motor oil or maybe refrigerants that are in air conditioning systems, that sort of thing.
I don't know that, actually. I mean, I probably should. But yeah,
well,
I don't
you know they're dealt with properly, though. That's what they're... But all we need to know then now is how people get in touch if they've got an old car that they want to benefit charities like Haven in Wolverhampton.
Yeah, well, our website is at www.giveacar, which is all one word, .co.uk. A lot of people mistake it for .com, so it's giveacar.co.uk.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to call us up, if you've been sold the idea, then the number to call is 0200-011-1664.
Right, that's lots of zeros. Do that again.
Yes, 0200-011-1664. And that's a local rate number. It's a funny one, actually, but it's one of the new London numbers.
Okay, so 0200-011-1664, and have a chat with the guys down at giveacar.co.uk, and they'll sort you out. Brilliant. Well, Tom, lovely to talk to you. Great scheme, and well done for coming up with that one.
Thank you so much.
Cheers.
Thank you ever so much.
Cheers. Bye.
So half an hour. Let's take some more music from our band. This time we have a track called Naive Child. We'll be right back. Final Clearance and our penultimate track from them, Naive Child. This is The Milk Bar. That's you, isn't it, Zoe? You're naive, or is it just a bit simple?
Probably just a bit blonde.
Yeah,
without the blonde hair.
Yeah, well, they're highlights, aren't they? But there yes. we go. All right, let's talk dancing now, as we've got Michelle Stokes joining us from the Two Step Dance Academy. Hello.
Hello.
Now, disclaimer first, I know you because your girls dance for us at Molyneux.
Yes.
And yeah, they're due to be with us for the West Ham game.
Yeah, we're there on Saturday, back again. We haven't been there for a while, have
I know,
we?
Well, so. It's getting everyone in the right place at the right time. It's been a nightmare recently with bank holidays and all sorts. But you'll be joining us. And a bit of a Michael Jackson mix for us this coming weekend.
Yeah, we've just recently danced at a 30th birthday party, and we put together a Michael Jackson mix because the person who's 30 wanted it. So it went down well, so we thought we'd use it this Saturday.
So what sort of things do you get up to with your dance class then? Because you've got training going on all over the place, haven't you?
Yeah, I do dance classes in Wolverhampton, and my dance classes mainly run from the Cannock area, our Hyra Health Club, and we run the classes then from the age of 3, is my youngest, up until about the age of 30 at the moment. So we do everything from freestyle street dance, ballet, we do modern jazz, we do gymnastics, we do drama, we do troupe performances, so got a lot going on really.
Did you like the old ballroom dancing as well? Because I think that's becoming quite popular, isn't it, with things like Strictly and...
Yeah, we've got a teacher at the moment. I've obviously trained a girl up to come and work under my name, and she's a Latin and ballroom teacher.
Oh, yeah.
So she's going to come and work for me under my name, teaching mainly adults, I think, at the moment, doing Latin and ballroom, because it's a big call for that at the moment.
Yeah, it's going to be quite
We're looking
popular.
Into Zumba, because I know Zumba's taking off, isn't it?
Oh, it is popular. Mm. We've talked Zumba on here a few times with a couple of young ladies.
Well, it's all supposed to be really good exercise as well, isn't it? Because you hear the people on Strictly say they lose that much weight while they're training.
Yeah, it's got the dance technique in with the exercise, hasn't it? So you can burn a lot of calories. So I'm looking really at the moment.
So the Two Step Dance Academy franchise could be growing.
It could. I could be getting far more busy than I already am, if that's possible.
I don't think it is, because you're always here, there and everywhere.
Yeah, because I work at Walsall College as well. I'm a lecturer in dance there. Mm-hmm. And I also work at Samwell Academy High School doing GCSE PE dance as well.
And it is important to be fully qualified when you're doing this sort of dancing as well, isn't it? Because there's more than just the fun side to it. There's the actual knowing about the physicality of it too, because you'd actually cause yourself an injury, couldn't you, if you did it wrong?
Oh, yeah, if you don't know what you're doing with your own body, let alone the children's and your pupils' bodies, it can be really dangerous. Mm-hmm. And also we send our children into examinations, so all the grade work that they learn during the lessons, they go and perform to an examiner that's qualified and get medals and trophies and all sorts out of it and things like that. So we just we've got a show coming up next year at the Prince of Wales in Cannock.
Mm-hmm. That's a really nice venue, isn't it? So it's going to be great for the families of the kids and adults to be able to come along.
Yeah, we had one this time last October. We had one. It was sold out and it was a really good night and everyone was buzzing after it. So I said, oh, we'll get another one started straight away.
And that's what a hell of a venue to sell out as well. It must be 1,200 people in there.
Oh, I think there's about 600, 700.
Oh, is it? Oh, it's less. It just looks a lot.
it's a lot of people in one place, though.
Yeah.
It's enough. It's still you could probably do it twice, actually, and sell it out twice.
Michelle's girls are used to dancing to 20-odd thousand people, though, so
it's
600.
It's a small venue.
It's not even going to raise the nerves at all, but it's great for the people to come along and watch. So give us a rundown of when and what type of classes you have.
We do a Tuesday night in Great Whirley, and we do drama and then gymnastics, and we have children performance troupe. Mm-hmm. So I've got children that come and learn dances, and they just did a gymnastics competition and performed at that on Sunday. Mm-hmm. And then on a Wednesday night, I'm at the Molyneux, I use the room for teenage street dance, and that's 5:30 until 6:15 for anyone over the age of 11. And then a Thursday night we do Cannock and we have a children's dance class, and then we have teenage street dance and jazz, and the girls that dance at the Walls Ground on a Saturday, we have training at Fitness First in Cannock on a Thursday evening. Mm-hmm. And then a Saturday day we do junior ballet, jazz and freestyle, and then we do a little baby class, introduction to dance. There's about 20 little 3-year-olds in that class all running riot.
But it's good. It's good for them though to be able to start doing something and get an interest as well, isn't it, and really enjoy themselves.
Yeah, I mean, if I start at the age of 3, the progression and the way that they actually develop with confidence, let alone dance, is amazing. Mm-hmm. You can tell the difference between someone that's danced from a young age to someone that started later on.
It all sounds absolutely brilliant. If people want to find out more directly from you, how do they get in touch?
They can contact me at Michelle at twostepdanceacademy.co.uk.
Which means there's a website as well that people can find out more on?
There is a website, but it's currently under construction, so there won't be that much information on that. So the best thing is to either contact the Wolves, and they'll get in contact with me through the community.
Yeah,
the community.
Or let us know here at the podcast. I have Michelle's phone number. We can put you in touch.
Yes.
Simple as that. Fine. Lovely.
Wonderful.
Well, great to talk to you. I'm looking forward to seeing the routine on Saturday. That should be good.
We'll see you Saturday.
And we'll catch up then. Okay.
Okay, thank you. Take care.
Cheers, you too. Ta-ra for now.
Bye.
Let's take our final song then from our featured band. Once again, their final clearance. This is Circles Round You.
So tired of waiting for you. I'm so tired of running round circles around you. I want to know. Draws me to you. I just want to meet you. Know who you really are. And what it is that makes me want to love you. I'm so tired of running round circles round you. Something to help me out. keep running in my circles around you.
Circles Round You. They are Final Clearance. I enjoyed that. Really good to hear that, man.
Lovely, yes.
Good music.
I was drifting off there for a minute.
You have been doing that regularly.
It doesn't take a lot.
It doesn't mean you coming down with something again. You're not going to be ill for next week, are you?
No, I've just... Do you know, I've got that much on my mind at the minute. It's quite difficult to focus.
It's such a tiny mind as well.
Well, that's it. It doesn't take much.
No, well, there we go. Well, it's lovely to see you this week. Nice to have you back.
Thank you.
And we'll be back next week for more. Anything to add as before we finish? I know what we're supposed to do.
What?
We're supposed to mention the competition, which is ongoing.
Oh, yes. Did that not end last week?
There's another competition.
Oh, is there?
Yes. You've missed out here because you didn't listen back to the podcast on your sickbed.
No, I didn't.
We're looking for a dribble.
A dribble?
Yeah, which is a 42-word story. In honour of 42 Day, which was last Sunday, the 10th of the 10th of the 10th, the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy thing.
Very good.
We're looking for a 42-word story, preferably science fiction, and there's a copy of Owen Colfer's book, the sixth one in the increasingly inaccurately named trilogy of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy books. And that's called And Another Thing. So if you fancy a go at winning that, write us a 42-word story, as I say, preferably something science fiction-y, and drop an email to themilkbar@jasonforrest.com.
Can I do that? I quite like writing.
If you want to come up with a story and send it in from your zoeturner.co.uk email address...
Oh, nice one there.
Then yes, that's a possibility.
I might have to think about that. I do like The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy as well.
All right, well, so if you fancy winning a copy, you're excluded because you're staff. I've got a copy you can have, actually. But anyway, we've got one. I think I have somewhere, not certain.
Oh, yes.
But you can have a go at winning that one. And all you got to do is get in touch, drop that over to us. But I think that's the housekeeping done.
Okay.
We'll keep that open for another week or two, and then we will announce a winner from there.
Very well. Worthwhile, by the sound of
it. Yeah, nice book. Get it posted out. The guys from ZZ9 Plural Z Alpha will sort that one out for us. We had spoke to Jim last week, but there we are. Back next week for episode 71 then, Zoe.
Yes, we're getting on in age now, aren't we, Jason?
Yes,
it's flying.
It's showing in your case, but there we are. So over now.
Bye.
Goodbye from the milk bar. 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 Yeah. Goodbye from the milk bar. Yeah.